Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, the entire hurricane naming system. As you know, Atlantic tropical storms and hurricanes are assigned names from a pre-selected A to Z list every year. However, a recent rarity highlighted the terrible systemic oppression of this whole process. Hurricane Agatha in the Pacific crossed over Mexico, and her remnants became Tropical Storm Alex in the Gulf. Now, some snide talk show hosts made jokes about this, meaning that the first named storm of 2022 was transgender, as if that's funny. But we recognize this for what it really is, an indictment of the entire naming protocol system. First, the barbaric practice of alternating male and female names, of course, totally leaves out any storm which is non-binary, queer, multisexual, or trans. We have all these different LGBTQ2SIA plus symbols for a reason, people! Now, naturally, a storm declared female at birth shouldn't have to cross a landmass just to show his true gender identity. But how presumptuous of us to assign genders to these storms without their consent in the first place? Do we know that Agatha was a female before she was ever formed? Did we ask Alex if he considers himself a male? And even if Alex identifies as male, did we check which pronouns he, she, or they prefer us to use? Can you imagine how hurtful it would be as a storm who's had your gender and pronouns simply assigned to you so capriciously with absolutely no input or choice in the matter? Instead of perpetuating this Victorian repression, we must demand that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration bring forth a slate of new names that are non-binary, trans, hexagender, and unisex, so that we can properly refer to these complex weather patterns with the dignity and individuality they deserve. And don't even get me started on El Niño and La Niña. None of this is right, and we must bring more equity to how we identify these storms. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the Children's Museum of Indianapolis for their crass, hurtful, and blatantly racist Juneteenth menu that included a, quote, watermelon salad. Really, Indianapolis? How tone-deaf do you have to be to not realize how long black people in this country have been working to overcome the stereotypes given to them by the man just to marginalize and oppress them? What will you offer next? Fried chicken wings, malt liquor, menthol cigarettes? Good grief! At this point in the awakening of America, providing watermelon salad for Juneteenth is enough evidence to easily convict the Children's Museum directors of aggravated whiteness in the fourth degree. Now, it's true that part of the thematic imagery of food for Juneteenth is red color, such as in red soda or red velvet cake, to symbolize the struggle and suffering of African slaves in America. But just because watermelon fits this pattern and is an otherwise perfect summer food, which black people do often like the taste of, that doesn't mean white people can use it this way. No. Need I remind you that the goal of Juneteenth is to keep white people guessing and uncomfortable. They must be made to feel guilt and offered no means for expiating it. And if this means an overreaction of watermelon salad, so be it. Let the seed spitting stop and the race shaming continue. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, our highest praise for the school board of Keele, Wisconsin for their recent decision to file a Title IX complaint against three Keele middle schoolers for refusing to refer to a fellow student by the gender pronoun of their choice. Sexual harassment is no light matter, and just as bullies throughout history have used female terms as a way to insult boys and perpetuate the evil lie that there is something unmanly about being feminine, we are here to make sure that every person in America uses the gendered language of the hearer's preference. Now, I know, normally, sexual harassment is reserved for the worst sort of abuses. But I ask you, is pronoun abuse not abuse all the same? Although these students made a ridiculous claim that the First Amendment protects their right to free speech, even inside the classroom doors, we know that the First Amendment was never intended to protect offensive, distasteful, and certainly not sexist language. No, the only reason students have any freedom of speech is so they can use language in a way the whole community approves. Our ever-changing vocabulary regulations are the greatest fulfillment of freedom of speech. And if it takes some good old-fashioned coercion to make people be free in the right way, so be it. If some binary middle school miscreants need to be taught not to think for themselves about gender identity and linguistics, well, we appreciate that the Kiel School Board cared enough to deliver that lesson fearlessly and ferociously. All hail the rainbow of love and tolerance. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.